All right, let's look at John 14. I tell you, in 1997, the Lord gave me this revelation, and I've only preached it a couple times, but I've heard my spiritual father started preaching it about 8 years ago. But back in 1997, I had been asking the Lord about these greater works in John chapter 14. Jesus said, whoever believes in him, the works that I do, shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do. And at that time, you know, there was actually a lot of talk about the greater works. One minister, famous minister, if I called his name, he was saying that Jesus was talking about salvation and getting people saved. And because that's the greatest miracle, and people didn't get saved before Jesus went to the cross. And I understand that, and that's, I can agree with that, but that's in my spirit wasn't satisfied with that. And then there was people saying that the greater works are because it was just Jesus, but now there's many Jesuses in the earth, amen? And there is. We're all anointed ones, Christians, amen? But that didn't satisfy me either. So I just kept asking the Lord, believing that he is going to reveal it to me. We were up in Inga's mother's preaching. I was preaching. And right in the middle of my message, the Lord asked me, do you want to know why you're not doing, or why the church is not doing those greater works, the greater works? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, because the biggest problem is you think it's you doing them. And I'd had preachers come to the Old Victory, and they'd say, you know, we're supposed to be healing the sick. We're supposed to be raising the dead. We're supposed to be doing these things. And, you know, if you're a good Christian, you're going to try to do that, right? I mean, laid hands on people before and didn't really see what you wanted to see, huh? We be honest. We all have. We all wondered why, you know, sometimes it just doesn't look like. Well, I want to share with you tonight, I believe God's call and calling and the time we're living in, he's wanting us to walk with him, Father, just like Jesus walked with Father. How many want to walk with God like Jesus walked with God? How many want to see results like Jesus saw results? Amen? And I believe tonight, if you listen, now you're going to have to turn off some religious thinking and where you may have heard this passage of scripture one way. I'm not saying that I'm saying different, but I'm saying just listen with an ear to be taught and to learn. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, what's the main way we've heard that preached? That we have mansions where? In heaven. Well, I want to look at another one. I don't really think Jesus was talking about that. And I'm going to lay this out according to what he showed me. The word mansion there, I'm not saying we don't have mansions in heaven. Actually, I believe we are the mansion of heaven. Hallelujah. I believe the church is the city, the new Jerusalem, amen, that's going to come down, hallelujah. And we're going to see that tonight. But what he's saying here, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. The word mansion is monai, which means rooms, abodes, dwelling places, okay? Then he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Now, here's what Jesus is saying there. I don't have an all-inclusive, do you know what that means? On this walk with God. You can walk with God just like I walk with God. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. Did you notice Jesus never ever put people's faith down? When Peter wanted to come out on the water, he said, Jesus, if that's you, let me come to you. And what did Jesus say? He said, come, didn't he? He didn't say, Peter, whoa, Peter, I'm the Son of God. You can't do this. Only I can do this. He didn't say that, did he? In fact, you never heard or saw Jesus do anything like that. He always welcomed faith. In fact, he was looking for faith everywhere he went. He asked the question, when I return, will I find faith in God? Amen? So he welcomed faith. He was looking for faith. So he's saying here, I want you, and you have the ability, because there's many rooms, there's many places. I'm occupying one of these places. Amen? We're going to see in a minute. Do you realize Jesus, the Bible says that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Somebody finish that for me. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is part of the house. Hallelujah. Amen? See, what we've done, I want to say something because I want to give a little example. Me and Inga rented this movie last night, The Young Messiah. I nobody that I know really endorsed it, but there was several Christian people that did. I started watching that, and I've been meditating on this right here for years, because the Lord began to minister to me, show me that we've put Jesus way up here, and we feel like we're way down here, and we're always trying to get him to do what we're supposed to be doing, right? But Jesus didn't cover that. He came to make us equal with himself. He came to make us one with him and one with Father, so that we could walk with Father just like he walked with Father. Amen? And so in this movie, they had Jesus, an 8-year-old boy, and the first thing that just was really crazy is they had him get beat up. And I looked at him and I said, somehow I just don't think Jesus got beat up as a little kid. And then the boy was running off, and the devil was there as this guy clothed in black, and he threw this apple on the ground. The little boy tripped over it and hit his head on a rock and killed him. And then they wanted to get Jesus, you know, and they carried him back home. And then Jesus snuck out of the house and went and healed him. And then he healed a bird. And then he healed his uncle. And I'm like, this is baloney. But see, that's the way the world, and maybe even lots of Christians, see that Jesus was. That he had this spectacular power. And he could just do anything he wanted to at any time he wanted to. But you know what? That's not true. Jesus laid all that down, Philippians tells us. And he walked as a man. In fact, very seldom did he even call himself the Son of God. He only did that when the Pharisees and them would pressure him. And he only did it a couple of times. So what Jesus wants here, let's read on. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, how has that been preached? Future. He's going to go make a place for us. And then one day he's coming back again. He's going to take us and take us to heaven, right? But that's not what he's saying here. When you look at the tense voice mood Strong's, where he says here, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, present tense, right now, where I am. Where was he? In the Father. Amen? He was in the Father, and the Father was in. We'll see that as we read on down. Now, see, Jesus took me line upon line. That's what he said. He said, you go read John 14, and I'm going to show you some things in that chapter. So don't get mad at me now. This is Jesus talking, okay? If you get mad at anybody, you're going to get mad at Jesus. All right. So he's talking about, I want you to be where I am. At that time, we couldn't be there, could we? Because he had to go to heaven, pour out his blood on the heavenly holy of holies, reconcile us to God. But when he did that, then he came again. And guess what he did? We got to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we became one with him. We became one spirit. When we were born again, He was the firstborn from the dead. But when he came out of that tomb, the church came out of the tomb with him. And when we individually received it, we became, he was the first begotten from the dead. And somewhere down the line, I'm one of those numbers. I may be the millionth, 437,000 or whatever. I don't know. Probably even further than that. But you see, I was one. And in God's eyes, I came out with Jesus and I'm one spirit with him. Amen. Then he said, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. I tell you, I just hear the heart of God right there. He wants us. Would we dare talk like that? Can we dare say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus? We don't think that way, do we? Because, see, we've seen Jesus way up here, and he is. But guess what? We way up there, too. We with him. Hallelujah. And so, see, the devil's kept us separated, and we think we're these little nothings, little ant creatures that can't even hardly relate, and we're always trying to get Jesus. Oh, dear, come help me. No. That's not what he wants. That's not what he came for. He came to make us one with him and God so we can walk as sons and daughters of God with complete confidence in our relationship with God. Hallelujah. And we've complicated this thing to the point where most of the church just lives in confusion all the time. They're hearing this and they're hearing that. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus makes it very simple. Amen? Paul said, I'm scared that you're moved away from the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is simple. Amen? I mean, a child can receive it. And children do. They just, they eat it up. They'll take it. They'll receive it. They'll believe it. Amen? See, we got to get our childlike quality back. We try to be like adults in the kingdom of God. You'll never be an adult to God. You're always going to be his child. Amen? Act like a child. Imitate your father. Amen? Imitate Jesus. Then he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am, where is he at? I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the what? Does the works. Now let's look at that. Let's put that equation together. I don't speak on my own authority. We're talking about these greater works, right? We're going to read that in just a minute. But Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are not my own. It's the Father in me, right, that does the works. So here's the simple equation and truth of it. He came to make a place for me in the Father so that where he was at that present time, I would be able to be, so I could walk with Father like he walked with Father. And all I have to do is hear the Father speak his words to me, right? Then say the words he gives me. And then he will do the works. You see how simple it is? It's imperative in these days that we develop a hearing ear to hear the voice of God. This is the way Father has always intended and wanted us to walk with Him. Do you realize this is how Abraham walked with God? Was there a law when Abraham walked with God? Was the law there? Mm-mm. It was, obey my voice. Amen? And God would come to him. And God would give him visions. However God wanted to communicate his voice, that really doesn't matter. He can communicate it. The scripture says his voice is upon many waters, right? So he can bring it to you in any way he wants to. The thing is that we be open and focused inwardly, not outwardly, inwardly, practicing his presence, being conscious that I'm the house of God. I'm the address of God. Amen? That's why you don't. We shouldn't come and say, are you glad to be in the house of God today? No, I'm glad to be the house of God. Amen? This is a sanctuary. This is a place of worship. This is actually called a house of prayer. Amen? Unto all nations. But this, put your hand right here. This is the house of God. Amen? And we're being built up. So if this is the house of God, I've got to learn to turn my gaze inward. Amen? And begin to listen. See, most Christians are out of tune with their own spirit. And they're more in tune with their bodies. And they're always trying to change their behavior. And like Stephen was saying today, which is true, we got a war there, but we're not conscious of God. And what do? We struggle and we try to do it in our own strength, don't we? We know we're not supposed to act this way, but we do. We find ourselves falling short and then we get under condemnation. We feel guilty and we're trying to do the best we can, but we end up being what? Frustrated. Why? Because we're not living and walking in grace there. We're trying to do this thing on our own. And that's not the way God designed it. We've got to learn that He's in here. He moved on the inside of me. That's what separates Christians. That's what makes it different than what the Judaism, when they had the law where they tried to do what they were supposed to do. Or they weren't even really, the law wasn't even given to be for them to keep. It was given to show them their need of a Savior, to magnify sin. God tried to get them to walk with Him first like Abraham walked with God. But they refused. So He set up, and they wanted the law. They said, give us things to do, and we're able to do it. And the Lord had to show them, you're not able. Hallelujah. And so God brought it all through that, and then He sent Jesus in the fullness of time. Amen? And now we can walk in His footsteps. We can hear. Is it not a treasure to be able to hear the voice of God? Amen. Inga and I were praying. Her mother and father went home to be with the Lord. We had that property. If there's any water bottles here, I sure could use. I'm about to. Is that one? I'll drink out of that. That'd be all right. It hadn't even been opened. Okay, awesome. Thank you very much. So we had been believing the Lord to sell that house, and I'd, you know, do what I knew to do. I'd drive by, or when I'm coming home, it was kind of almost across the street or a street from us. And so on my way home from work and stuff, when I was out, I just stretched my hand over there. Father, thank you. I call that house sold. Thank you for the buyer coming to us, and angels are working and all that. Well, one night, I had gotten up to use the bathroom. I was getting back in the bed, and as soon as I was getting back in the bed, the Lord said, command that house to sell. I said, and when He told me that, I knew within 1 week it would sell. So I pointed to it. I said, I command you to sell in the name of Jesus. Didn't say anything else. That's all I said. I didn't go, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that house. And I'm telling you, house, you're going to sell, you're going to sell, you're going to sell. And start quoting every scripture. I just said exactly what he said. He said, command that house to sell. I said, house, I command you to sell. And I got back in the bed. 3 days later, we got a call. There was an offer on the house, and it closed the next month. Hallelujah. Amen? So see, that's what I'm talking about here. Now, that's happened over and over and over again. I was in prayer one day, confessing the word of God, and the Lord spoke this to me. All things are yours. You realize that? Hebrews chapter 1 says, in times past, God spoke to us by the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of what? All things. Now, in the Old Testament, he gave the earth to us. But now, Jesus owns it all. Amen. The earth, the heavens, the galaxies, everything. The works of God's hands. And guess what I am? I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. That means it belongs to me too. And he said, son, all things are yours and they are yours to command. Amen. I got excited. I was walking there. But then my spirit, this came out. And Father, I'm yours to command. Amen. Because I walk under him in surrender to him and listening to him. And I tell you, he's been developing this. And he'll tell me what to say. And I'll say it. And then he'll do it. Amen. And see, we can get to the place. And then when we do that, we get those things like in the same hour. Amen. Now, does that mean we're just going to quit living by faith that we know and speaking to things and declaring? No, that doesn't mean that. But we're going to go, say, to another level. We're going to another level. Amen. We're going to walk with God and we're going to do these greater works because we're realizing how Jesus did it. Now, do you see that? Do you believe that? What Jesus is talking about there? Let's read a little bit further. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works, and these will he do. And then he says, Because, what's that? That's a causative, I forget what the word's called, but it's the cause of why we're going to be able to do it. And what does it say? Somebody read it real loud. Because I go to the Father. Now, what was he going to the Father to do? Prepare a place for me. Amen? Now, see, Jesus is taking me down through line after line. And he'll say, and then when I read that, he said, now go back up and see why I said I was going. And I saw, you're going to prepare a place for me. And he said, that's how you're going to do the works. You're going to do them the same way I did them. You're going to hear what God says. You're going to hear what I say. And you're going to say the same thing. And then I'm going to do the work. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Who's that? That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you orphans. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? What's an orphan? What does an orphan not have? A parent, but really a father. Because the Father's the provider. Amen. He will not leave us orphans. Amen. I will come to you. What's he going to do? He's gone to prepare a place. He's coming again to receive us. Amen. You see, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about those first verses. I will come to you and I will receive you. That where I am, you will be with me. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. See there? That's oneness, right? He who has my commandments and keeps them, It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas Iscariot said to him, if anyone loves me, said to him, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and what? Make our home. Guess what that word is? The same word as mansions. We will make our abode with him. We will come and move into him. We will come and live in him. Amen? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. I tell you, when the church, every great man of God that's got, that went to do, T.L. Osborne went over to India and prayed for people and nothing happened and they laughed at him, mocked him, and he came back over with his head hung down and he was upset and a little mad at God. He said, God, I ain't going back over there and doing anything like that again unless you do what I pray. I'm going to tell you, see, what do we do? I appreciate TL. We got to be honest with God. If we're upset with him, be honest with him. Have you ever been upset with him? I have. I was believing something so strong that I knew I was believing God. And it didn't happen on the day. Now, I really didn't want to set a day, but I was pushing my faith to the limit. And it didn't happen that day, and I just was feeling that Jesus let me down. And I tell you, I went to bed that night, and I woke up the next morning, and Jesus was right there. And he said, son, I did not let you down. And he walked out of the room. I jumped out of the bed, and I followed him into the living room. I tell you, Jesus is real. And we had us to talk. And he made things right. But see, he so loved me, he didn't want me feeling those that way. And he came to me to let me know he did not fail me. And he made me understand some things, and it all got worked out. Amen? So anyway, men who have done great things, John G. Lake would look in the mirror every day and he would say, you see that man in the mirror? That's a God man. See that suit? That suit's full of God. Wherever that suit goes, God goes today. See, when we get it in our hearts to the point we're fully persuaded that God lives in here, we're not going to just go doing stuff on our own. But we're going to know I have the answer. I have what this world needs. And the more we're in the book and we see what's the will of God and what's not the will of God, and then we're looking out here, we know this is not right. And then what do? Go try to change it? No. We start talking to our Father. Father, this doesn't line up with your word. Now I'm asking what we're going to do about this. And you start inquiring. And then God tells you what to do. And then you go do what he tells you to do. And then what's he going to do? He's going to do the work. See, you don't do the work. I don't do the work. He does the work. I speak the words. Amen? I speak the words. He does the work. Amen? I think we've got that turned around a little bit. We're trying to speak the words and do the work. We're trying to make the work happen by speaking our words. But that's not the way it works. All right. These things I have spoken to you while present, but the Helper will come, the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. I think that's about where I want to do when I go down to verse 30, because I want to go on to another little part. I will no longer talk much with you, but no. All right, now, let me look at what we got here. Let's go. I want us to look real quick. We're just going to run through these scriptures. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. First Peter 2. All right. This is the same thing, the same concept in what Jesus is talking about there in John 14. Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere, well, I think I went to 2:4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Talking about Jesus, right? You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable God to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Isn't that what Jesus said? You believe in God, believe in me. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, he's not precious. All right. Now, so I want you to get this kind. We're being built up what? A spiritual house. Amen? We could say a spiritual family. But it's a habitation of God. Ephesians 2:19. Write these scriptures down and go look at them. I want you to get this. I don't ever want you from this day forward to think of yourself and you're trying to touch God and he's a million miles away in heaven. I want you to start thinking and meditating and get developed into your spirit that God is close, is as close as your breath. He is on the inside of you. And that's where you need and I need to be listening for him right now. In here. Amen? And if you'll do that, combined with reading the Word, you're going to start hearing His voice in a greater way. And then you're going to practice what He says. And it's going to get more and more bearing of fruit. All right. Ephesians 2. Did I say? Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Amen. In whom you are also being built up together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen. See, that's what, when you're coming into this building, but Vashti, my dear sister here, you, you're living stones. Living stones. Say, I'm a living stone. And when I come together with this body of Christ here in this church, we're built up together. And I have giftings and anointings and callings, each one of us. And if we're not hearing God and knowing and understanding that, then we're just kind of, we're trying to get something. But mostly we're here, we need to be listening to give something. Amen? When I was in Malvern, we were in church. It was late. I had worked hard all day and come right from work to church. I still was in my work clothes. I was tired. I was listening to the message. But about 15 minutes till time to be through, I left in my brain, my mind. I was already at home. Because we was having hamburgers. And I was hungry. Get another drink of water. And the Lord said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm here." He said, "No, you're not. You're at home thinking about hamburgers. What if I want to use you in this service?" I said, "I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me." And as soon as I said and repented, I saw this girl. When I closed my eyes and said, "Lord, I'm sorry." I saw this girl. Her eyes were going back and forth real fast. So right after service, I went over to her and I said, "I saw you and your eyes were going back and forth real fast." She started crying, broke down. She said, "I didn't even tell my mom and dad, but I haven't been able to focus." I said, "Well, the Lord's fixing to heal you." So I laid my hands on her and I prayed and I said, "Father, I thank you. What you reveal, you healed. You're healed in Jesus' name." Immediately, those eyes came into focus and that was gone. Now, see why? See, this is how this stuff works. That was the same as him giving me words. He did give me words, right? And then he showed me something. John 6 says, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. Amen. Jesus said that he loves us just like he, or the Father loves us just like he loves Jesus. So does he want to show me things to do? Yes. Does he want to tell me things to do? Yes. But if I can't hear him, then what? I'm lost. I'm in the dark. I don't know. Because these things are received. It's called light. Amen. Light. How many of you have a computer? Have you ever downloaded something? Huh? What'd you do? You went to another site, right? Tapped into what they had and downloaded it. You pushed that button and boom, it started coming to your computer. Well, God's in here. The capacity to receive and hear his voice is in here. But we have to download it, amen, so to speak, so that we can get the information that heaven has and we can hear what heaven's saying and we can do what heaven's telling us to do. Amen? And when we do that, we're going to get the results that Jesus got. All right, let's go to, I think I got five or about eight more minutes. John 17. And verse 21. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So that means, that's what being one means, right? He said that they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. Was Jesus and the Father one? He went and prepared a place for us, right? So that where he was in God, one with God, we could be. Now he's praying before he's fixing to go to the cross, and he's saying that they may be one, as you, Father, and are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one. Who was that? That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? That they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So the next time the devil tries to tell you God doesn't love you, you just bounce right back and say, look, devil, he loves me just like he loves Jesus. He loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Remember, we can act like a child. Hallelujah. All right. 1 Corinthians Chapter 3. Let me just give you that one. I want you to go. Those two scriptures are where Paul said, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Blah, blah, blah. All right, so you need to go look those up. That's 3:16 and 6:19. Now I want to real quickly, I want to show you Jesus. And his. He is our example and what man was created to be. Amen? Do you believe that? We're supposed to do just like he did. Because he was what a man, a real man was supposed to do, or a real woman. 3:34. John 3:34. Now I'm going to tell you, the Lord started telling me this, and it just kind of blew my mind. Or it kind of went against. Jesus started, when he started revealing this to me, he started saying, you know, Brett, I never healed anybody. He said, I didn't feed the 5,000. I didn't raise Lazarus from the dead. I know, this is probably shocking some of y'all, isn't it? No, he couldn't. He could not do that by himself. A lot of people, a lot of Christians even think that Christ is Jesus' last name. But he was Jesus of Nazareth. But when he went and got baptized in Jordan, and obeyed the Father in that, the Spirit descended like dove, said, "You're my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased." He went up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and after the 40 days and 40 nights, he came out of the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost and power. Now he is Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed. The power of God is now upon him. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Amen? Now let's look at Jesus, 3:34. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure to him." Whose words did he speak? The words of God. 5:19. John 5:19. "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son won't do nothing of himself." Is that what it says? Can. The Son can do nothing. See, Jesus could not do these things by himself. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he, the Father, does, the Son also does in like manner. Amen? So that day in church, I saw God. I saw those eyes of that girl. And I knew when God showed me that, he wanted to heal it. And then when I went by faith, amen? Because it's always going to be by faith. You've got to give God faith, and then he'll do it. Your faith is you're speaking the words, or you go do what he shows you to do. Amen? And when I did that, then immediately she was healed. Hallelujah. How many of we want those results? Amen? Because we're going to learn that he's in here and that we can't do it ourselves. Remember, God told me, he said, the reason you're not doing it is because you think you're doing it. But no, we got to develop this understanding and knowing that he's in here, and learn to hear his voice. Hear him. Believe that he's here. He wants to speak to me. He wants to show me. He wants to do things through me. I'm his body. Amen? All right. 5:30. Let's go there. It's just a little down. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Amen? You see where we've been missing it? If Jesus couldn't do anything without the Father, there's no way we can do anything without the Father. Amen? Or without him. All right? 8:28. I'm not going to have time to do the other ones, but I'm going to let this one be the last one. Then I'm just going to read you the other ones, and then we're going to go look at one example. John 8:28. All right, he said, "Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Amen? All right, now I'm going to give you the other ones, and you just write them down. 9:4, John 9:4, John 12:49, and then Acts 10:38, and that's the one that says he went about doing good. Now I want you to real quick go to John 11. We're just going to read some scripture, and we're going to look at how Jesus did this. And from now on, when you read the Gospels, I want you to pay close attention and slowly look how Jesus, when he did things. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you and see what he was doing. John 11. I'm going to start reading verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. They sent messengers, right? When Jesus heard that, he said to the messengers, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now we know who said that. Jesus said it, but who told him, gave him the words? The Father. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Now when I used to read that, I was like, Lord, if you loved him, why didn't you get on up and hightail it right on over there? Get this thing done. But see, when I began to understand that, he couldn't. Why? Because of himself, he can do nothing. So what did he do for those 2 days? He didn't go any further. He was on his way somewhere else. But he stayed there two more days. Why? Because he's seeking the Father. He's listening to God. He's wanting to get orders, his assignment on what to do in this situation. Then he said, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? Look at, what is he talking about? I used to think, Lord, what? Had you been in the sun? I mean, I'm thinking, they didn't ask you about, are there not 12 hours in the day? They ask you if you're going to be stoned. And then he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to wake him up. Now let me just tell you, what he's saying there, he's saying, I have received some light. God the Father has showed me what to do. I guarantee you, he saw himself standing there and saying, Lazarus, come forth. Amen.